Good morning. Welcome. We'll go ahead and get started this morning. We're excited to be able to gather together as the body of Christ. This is our missions conference weekend. We had a great time of fellowship last night with our missionaries and catching up with them, hearing a little bit more about how the Lord is using them. And this morning, had a great time hearing from Erin, our sister who's serving in South Brazil, and getting an update on her ministry. That if you were not here for that, you're going to meet Erin here in just a second, get the real short version of it. But the longer version, we did live stream that, so you can check out the live stream platforms and listen to that later on if you want to hear more about what the Lord is doing in and through Erin there in South Brazil. We'll hear from Randy here in just a little bit as well. Tonight, we're going to hear a ministry update from Randy and Cindy and how they are, how the Lord is using them in South Brazil as well. And so we're excited about that. I invite you to come back for tonight and be a part of that and be encouraged and challenged about the Lord and how he is continuing to work, not just here in Wheelersburg, surrounding areas, but all over the world. Also, right after this morning's service, we have a fellowship meal planned downstairs for everyone. We want to invite everyone to come down for that, enjoy a time of fellowship, and enjoying some more interaction with our missionaries during that time. This week, we're looking forward to our normal schedule of ministries on Wednesday night. We're continuing in our series in 1 Corinthians during the adult prayer meeting. We have our fly ministry with the kids and then also the junior high Bible study that's meeting on Wednesday evening. Such an exciting time. Lots of activities happening on Wednesday evening, and we continue to pray that the Lord will use that in the sanctification of his people. Lots of things happening in the life of the church. Make sure you're a part of the email that goes out every couple times a week, actually, with all the announcements on it, so you can stay up to date, mark your calendars accordingly. If you're not one that checks your email a bunch, we do print copies of that and put it on the foyer table, and you can grab one of those on Sunday mornings as well. So with that, we're going to bring Erin on up. She can introduce herself. We're so thankful for our sister and what she is doing, and she's going to give a little snippet of who she is and what the and how the Lord is using her in ministry in South Brazil. And then we'll turn it over to Douglas and the team to help lead us in singing praises.
Good morning, everybody. I feel like I was just up here. I forgot, for those of you who were here, and I totally forgot to tell you guys, I have new prayer cards back there on the table. And if you don't get my email updates and you'd like to get my email updates, sign up for it back there. Grab a prayer card, magnet, all that stuff's back there. But for those of you who don't know me, Erin Warrow from Wheelersburg. I think I lived here since I was 5, so this is home. And been in Brazil for 18 years now, serving first 2 terms in a church plant, and then the last 2 terms, last 8 years. 2 main ministries I'm a part of, one is called Logos Church, and the other one is The Hangout. It's a coffee house ministry. But I think the best way for me just to show you quickly what these ministries are involved about, we're going to show you Camille's video. We had a team come down in May and film some videos for us. So this is Camille's story. She's one of my girls that comes from both The Hangout and Logos. But I think it'll show you well the purposes and how God's working there. So thank you.
My name is Camille. I am 27 years old. When I was 9 years old, my parents separated. And my brother and I started to have a life that we were not expecting. At the time, my mother started to move every 6 months or every year to a different city. And every time she moved, she found a different boyfriend. And I was responsible for my brother. So I ended up sort of being my brother's mother. This responsibility was very hard for me. I felt the sadness of loneliness, anger, and being angry with my mother. I found myself seeking relationships to fill this void, to fill this sadness. When I was in college, a friend introduced me to The Hangout, a place for us to come and have a snack during class breaks. I start to feel affection, and I start using the hangout as a refuge to not be at home. While I was going to the hangout, I was in a complicated relationship because it was a relationship of refuge again. Trying to fulfill something that could not be fulfilled by a person. But the hangout became so good for me. Erin became a wonderful person to me. In addition to Erin, Carol was also a person that God sent for my life. They were introduced me to God in an easygoing way, without telling me I was forced to go to church. They were showing me the difference that God could be bring to my life. When they start talking to me, I start showing a desire to get to know the church. So one day I decided that I want to start participating in Logos Church. I start to transform. I start putting anger aside, and I realize that my sadness could be filled. One day Pastor Fabio was preaching about sin, the results of sin, and about all the sadness. I realized that what I need was Christ in my life. I decide to convert to Christ and accept Christ as my Savior. Besides having left solitude, anger, and sadness aside, I learned to serve God. Now, my mom has shown interest in coming to church. My brother, who did not want us talking about God, now accepted. I have learned to be thankful instead of just complaining. This is my life with God.
Good morning, everyone. Before we start, I just want to share a little bit. I'm so happy and thankful for this day. As we all celebrate and bring worships together to our God, as we rejoice in the goodness of His name and the goodness of His works in our lives, I'm just thankful for Randy so much. And for his faithfulness to the gospel. And then also for Erin. She's pretty much who taught me music and also to praise God through lyrics and also to the sound there. I'm just so happy for this day. To direct our hearts and our thoughts to God right now, we found ourselves on these verses in Isaiah 40, 28 says, "Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, and the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable." John 1, 103. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. But to all who receive Him, who believe in His name, He gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, not of will of flesh of man, but of God. So as we stand, let's sing to this God, all-knowing God, that predestined us to be adopted as sons and daughters, and we now can worship to our God.
We were waiting without hope, without light, till from heaven you came running. There was mercy in your eyes to fulfill the law and prophets. To a virgin came the word, from a throne of endless glory to a cradle in the dirt. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings. To reveal the kingdom coming and to reconcile the lost, to redeem the whole creation, you did not despise the cross. For even in your suffering, you thought to the other side, knowing this was our salvation, Jesus, for our sake you died. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King. Till that stone was moved for good, and the Lamb had conquered death, and the dead rose from their tombs, and the angels stood in awe for the souls of all who'd come to the Father are restored, and the Church of Christ was born. Then the Spirit lit the flame. Now this gospel truth of old shall not kneel, shall not fade. By his blood and in his name, in his freedom I am free. For the love of Jesus Christ, who has resurrected me. Praise the Father, praise the Son.
Kings and nations tremble at his voice.
rises to rejoice. Behold our God, seated on his throne. Come, let us adore him. Behold our King, nothing can compare. Come, let us
Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. In the life who live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me.
Of grace is Jesus my Redeemer. There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless. bound to His. Oh, how strange and divine, I can sing, all is mine, yet not I, but through Christ in me. The night is dark, but I am not forsaken, for by my side the Savior, He will stay.
Exciting time today and a very busy day and uncountable reasons to praise the Lord. So let's pray together today. Father, what an exciting thing it is to be able to come together in fellowship in your house. Father, we've gathered with a freedom that's unexperienced in many, many places. And we're so thankful today for another reminder from you that there isn't any place where you are not at work. Father, we can be guilty of not thinking of places very far away, but just the knowledge that you are at work everywhere, what an incredible thing to hear, what an incredible blessing it is. A myriad of things to praise you for, to know you, to love you, the fact that you love us. We just ask your continued blessing on this service today as we get to hear about ministry. Ask your blessing on our time of fellowship together, our board meeting another time this evening of teaching and learning. And Father, we praise you to the very depths of us that we can do all of this without fear. Currently, we still can. And we're so thankful for it today, Father. We give that thanks in Christ's name. Amen.
Our children can head to Children's Church. I want you to know how excited I am about what's happening this weekend. This is our missions conference this year. And I need to set the stage for this a little bit. So it was 50 years ago that at Grace Chapel Church in West Liberty, God, just about 51 years ago, he saved me. And I eventually saved Sherry in that same ministry. Grace Chapel was a church that had a tremendous heart for world missions. They had missions conferences like this. And it was almost 50 years ago that at a missions conference like this, that God worked in my heart. And I remember surrendering my life to serve him wherever he wanted. I really thought it was going to be world missions. I thought we were going to end up going somewhere in the world. And through the process of things, he made it clear, I don't want you to go. I want you to equip and send people to go. I want you to be a pastor. And that's been my joy to do so. And it's been our joy as a church to equip and send. And we have people from our church that are all over the world right now serving, 17 different states in the United States, doing a variety of things. Four of our own that have gone to be missionaries around the world. Aaron being one of those. I believe that God's going to use this weekend to continue to send. And I want you to have your heart ready for what God has to say to you about going or sending your children or your grandchildren to the nations. When we first came to Wheelersburg in 87, we got to know a wonderful team of missionaries that we had, one of which was Willard Stahl serving in Brazil, where he had served for decades at that point. And through Willard, we began to realize he had family members who were also God's children, having a heart for ministry, and eventually met Randy and Cindy Richner, Randy being a grandson of Willard Stahl. We have four generations of servants in Brazil in this family. And we had the joy of becoming a part of Randy and Cindy's support team as they serve Christ there in South Brazil. And I just believe we have a wonderful team of almost 20 missionaries and a variety of agencies and ministries we support as a church. About a quarter of what you give goes to enable us to do the work of Christ in this world, missions. And we give, we pray, and we focus on weekends like this. God, how do you want to use us to reach this next generation in this world? And would you pray with me as we open our hearts to the word that God has prepared to give to us through his servant, Randy Richner. Randy is such a dear brother. Come on up, Randy. Randy not only serves as a church planner in Brazil, but is also as the regional director for ABWE in Brazil, caring for 50 missionaries there. It's a joy to have you here. Cindy couldn't be here because of their son and taking care of him and Jason there. Sherry and I had the privilege to be there back a few years ago. We're going to start telling stories when he was just a little guy. Now he's 16 or whatever. But what a joy to have you with us. And our hearts are wide open to what God has through you to say to us this morning. Randy will also be talking to us tonight in the evening service and sharing more about the work that God's doing there. So bring it to us. There are people here that are not going to be here because of what happens this day. They're going to be going to the nations, and we'll rejoice in that.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. Well, Pastor Brad, he has a pastor's heart, but he also has a mission's heart. And I send out my prayer letter every 3 months or so, and I usually get back maybe one or two responses to that. But I know that Pastor Brad always sends back a response to me. He's such an encouraging pastor to me. And I tell you what, I was holding back the tears seeing Douglas up here worshiping the Lord, and it's great to be here with you all. I would like to just start by sharing a time in my life that was a challenge. I woke up every Saturday morning early, and I prepared a gospel message to take to our basketball ministry, Paddy Pengsi. And the gym was full of boys that were there to play basketball. And we would play for an hour, hour and a half, and then stop. And I would share that five-minute gospel message, and then we would play for another hour, hour and a half. And for 4 years, no one put their faith in Christ. And I was at that point. You may have been at that point before where it was like, is it really worth it? Am I wasting my time? Well, I'd like to share right now Edson's testimony, and he's going to share how God worked in his heart through basketball.
Cada vez que eu conto isso, eu me lembro
daquele
dia.
That day. That
que
é doido, hurts,
mas
but my heart
o meu coração é que
is
tava
what was wrong. Wrestling with God. For me, basketball meant everything. There was a time where I stopped thinking of basketball as something professional because I hurt my knee, but it was still my favorite sport. So I practiced it all the time, but not to be a pro anymore. There was a basketball ministry called Stop and Think. So we played for a period and then we stopped and paused for water. And for 5 minutes, a pastor or a missionary preached the gospel. But I looked at that, what he was talking about, as a message that was something good, but not for me. There was a, say, 4 years, that's when the accident happened. Then I had to go to medical care unit to get my foot back in place. And then I was out of work for a year, unable to work and play basketball, which is what I really wanted to do. But in that time, I had time to reflect on all those 4 years that the gospel was preached to me, all those messages passed through my mind, and then we received a visit from Pastor Randy. And when he arrived, we welcomed him. He preached the gospel again, and I said that I had doubts about everything I had heard. We cleared up our doubts, and I asked my wife, so what now? We have to respond to this. What do you think? And we both accepted together. Together, the two of us accepted Christ. But soon after, about 2 years after our conversion, my son got sick. And when he got sick, it was something quite sudden. Yes, it was very fast. In more or less the 25th day, he was admitted to the ICU. We went through a huge difficulty because the doctor said that there was nothing more he could do for Enzo. All the medicine and everything he could do through medicine was done, but he wasn't getting better. So Alexandre and I, we prayed that night, talked to each other, and that day we prayed the hardest prayer of our life. That is to say to God, if it was his will, he could take Enzo. And every time I tell it, I remember that day that hurts, but my heart is what was wrong, wrestling with God, that Enzo, Evelyn, were his. He gave them to us, so if he wanted, he could take them. In the morning, we went back to the room, and the doctor says something had happened because Enzo had started to respond and he was better. And that same week, he left the ICU and went to our room. Our heart was hard, demanding and questioning God of something. And he showed us through his word, because we prayed every day, we study every day, and he showed us that he's sovereign over all things. We understand then that God has called us to work in full-time ministry. That's why today we are here. Sítio da Esperança is a place where we initially thought we would serve the local churches, serving as a camp for retreats, weddings, sports. Today we are responsible for all the administration of this place, for rentals, but we have one more purpose for this place. It's not just serving the church, but to plant a church here, which is one of the goals now. We've been doing Bible studies. This is how God has directed us. This has driven us to be here in Loma Grande, Novo Hamburgo, using this space at Sítio da Esperança.
So I was at that point 4 years into the ministry. Am I wasting my time? What I needed was a good coach. And God's word has been such a great coach to me over the years. And one text, which is our text for this morning, that God really used in my life was 1 Corinthians 15:58. 1 Corinthians 15:58 goes, "Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain." So what do we learn from this very important verse? Don't give up. God is at work. In the end, it'll be worth it all. It will be worth it all. And today you saw the joy in Edson's life, and Alexandra and Evelyn and Enzo. The whole family's been saved and baptized, and they are working there at the Sítio da Esperança, at the retreat center there, and being used of the Lord in such a mighty way. They are now also involved in a church plant there in Loma Grande, and they even have, Edson even has a basketball ministry of his own. So it has definitely been worth it all. Well, my dad was a coach before he became a missionary to Brazil. My dad coached basketball, baseball, and cross country. And so when we went to Brazil as missionaries, my dad also continued coaching me. And so my dad was a great coach to me. And he decided when I was 12 years old that he was going to disciple me along with a group of around 10 boys, teenage boys. And that was quite a rigorous discipleship program. So at 6 o'clock in the morning, we started with a 10-kilometer race, about 6 miles, around the neighborhood. And we would come back and have coffee and milk, and then we would start memorizing scripture, and we would study the Word of God together. And I just praise the Lord that my dad invested that time in me and my friends. It was so helpful for me, not only then, but even now. But my dad also was preparing us for a larger race, a 20-kilometer race around the Lagoa da Pampulha, a lake in the central part of Brazil. And, you know, if you were to think about today, to prepare your son for that large of a race, that long of a race, that'd be almost considered child abuse now, right? But we were every Saturday morning getting ready for this race. And finally, the day of the race came, and I can remember that day. There were about 30 of us ready to run that race. It was at 6 o'clock in the morning, of course. And before we got ready to start, my dad pulled me off to the side and he said, Randy, I want to give you some advice. I want to give you some advice. And so he said, Randy, I want you to pace yourself. Pace yourself. This is not a sprint. This is a long-distance race. I said, okay, all right, I'll remember that. So we lined up, and I remember Dad taking a picture of us. We were all smiling, and we were all excited, and yeah, race. And my dad had a whistle, and he blew that whistle, and several of those runners just bolted. And they sprinted as hard as they could. And you know what happened at about, you know, 2-3 kilometers, not even a mile, two. Several of them just quit. They just dropped out of the race. My dad, knowing that that probably was going to happen, he hired a Volkswagen van, a combi, to go around and pick up those that quit the race and take them to the finish line. But I, after every one of those was dropping out, I was like, okay, pace yourself, pace yourself. Well, that advice that my dad gave me was so helpful for me in ministry in Brazil, continues to be. And it's similar to this advice that we received from the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable. What does it mean to be steadfast? It means to be steady. I love this verse in Portuguese. It goes like this. Portanto, meus amados irmãos, sede firmes, inabaláveis, sempre abundantes na obra do Senhor, sabendo que no Senhor o vosso trabalho não é vão. I love that word for steadfast in Portuguese, firmes, firm. In Brazil, in my ministry, one of the phrases that I'll use with the people in our church, our members, is I'll say to them, forte e firme, strong and firm. And what I'm hoping to hear back is, sim, pastor, forte e firme. Yes, pastor, strong and firm. If I hear kind of a, I know that I need to have probably coffee with them that week, see how they're doing, right? But to be firm. So how are you doing today? How are you doing this morning? Forte e firme, are you strong and firm? Well, we are to be firm, and we see this in chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians. We're to be firm in our faith. We're to be firm in our hope. We're to be firm in the gospel. We're to be firm in gospel ministry. And why is that? Well, in chapter 15, we also see that it's because Jesus Christ, he died and he rose again. We have in Christ forgiveness from sin. We have salvation from sin and death, and he gives us the victory. So that is why we are to be firm. So be steadfast and immovable. What does it mean to be immovable? It means that we should not allow anything to move us away from our hope in the gospel. We're not to be shaken. So pace yourself. Pace yourself. When I arrived in Brazil, in the southern part of Brazil, I was told by a missionary that it takes 7 years for a gaucho to come to know Christ as their Savior. The southern part of Brazil is a resistant place to the gospel. And I thought, 7 years? You can't put a time frame to someone's salvation. Well, it's been pretty close. But what I learned with that is that it takes time in our culture in southern Brazil to get to know people, to understand their culture, understand their language, to show them that we love them, that we're not just there to convert them. So it has taken us some time to learn the gaucho culture. And part of that is learning to drink green tea. Now, some of you are familiar with this, but this green tea is made by basically grinding up a bush. So if you look at this, it looks like mulch. You can see the twigs. And it has 10 times the amount of caffeine as coffee. So after drinking green tea for an hour and a half, I am raring to go, right? I'm ready. Now, the most difficult thing about this is not that it's so strong in its caffeine content. It's that when you drink it, you use this metal straw, and then you pass it around to the next person, and they pass it around to the next person, and the next person, the next person, and then it comes back to you for a good hour and a half, 2 hours, right? So I had to say a number of prayers to get to use and enjoy green tea, and that's it's a simple prayer. It's, Lord, help. Help. Now, as a missionary, I could say, no, I don't like that stuff. That's gross. I'm not going to drink that. But I would miss out on several opportunities to develop relationships. And my neighbor across the street, João, he's a truck driver, and he would wave at me and say, hey, Pastor Randy, are you ready for some green tea? Sure, João. And for 8 years, João and I drank green tea together. He'd come back from one of his trips, and he would call me and say, the green tea is waiting for you. All right, let's go. And we would drink, and we would talk, and there came a time when João said, Randy, Pastor Randy, I love drinking green tea with you. I said, oh, yeah, why is that? He said, well, with everybody else, it's just small talk. We don't talk about anything but the weather and politics and all that, but with you, I get to talk about the end of the world. I was like, João, well, that's not really a good thing to talk about. It's not a pretty thing. Well, 8 years drinking green tea with João, and he finally understood that he was a sinner, that he needed to put his faith in Jesus Christ, and he did and became my brother. We moved to Iwo Chi, and I moved all our stuff in, and didn't take long for my neighbor across the street, Joel, who was here on Wednesday with his family, to wave and say, hey, neighbor, do you like green tea? Well, I had to figure out how I was going to answer that one, right? But I said, sure, I'll drink some green tea with you. And later on tonight, I'm going to share a video of his testimony. But 2 years drinking green tea, and Joel and Dagi put their faith in Jesus Christ and became my brother and sister in Christ. So pace yourself, right? There is no instant evangelism, not in Brazil and not even here in Ohio, right? You know that it's going to take some time for you to get to know people, for you to be able to share your faith, for them to understand the gospel and commit to it, right? Commit to it with their whole heart and put Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. So we are being patient in the southern part of Brazil. We are now in the city of Dois Irmãos, which is a German city in a gaucho culture in Brazil. And they will start by speaking in Portuguese, and they will finish their phrase in German, the Hunsrück language. The Hunsrück people group are around 5 million, and there are less than 2% that would know the gospel, would claim to be believers. So we are there in this city, and I've told our leadership there at this church plant, I said, look, this is going to take at least 10 years. This is going to take 10 years to start this church, plant this church, develop the leadership, and see this church going strong. And we've been a few years into it, and God has already been blessing, and I'll share some of that later on tonight. But it's just amazing to see how God is at work, but we need to pace ourselves. Well, before the race, my dad gave me some more advice. He also said to me, he said, Randy, give it all you've got. Don't arrive at the finish line with energy left over. And so that is very similar to what we see here in this verse in 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. So Paul, led by the Spirit, he encourages us to always abound in the work of the Lord. It is easy to coast as a Christian, isn't it? Coast in the Christian life, just do the minimum, just show up. Well, that is not what we see in this verse. That is not what we see from the Apostle Paul here, led by the Holy Spirit. I've been driving a lot, and so I've been listening to an audiobook by Wiersbe that's called The 50 Christians That Everyone Should Know. And it's been really exciting to listen to different men and women of God that God has really worked in and through to impact many lives. And one of the things that I've noticed out of all of them is that they didn't coast. They were totally committed to the Lord, totally committed to living out their life and their faith for the Lord. They abounded in the work of the Lord. Pastor Brad mentioned my grandmother and grandfather, Willard and Grace Stahl. They were supported by this church for many years. And I had the opportunity to read through some of my grandparents' prayer letters, some of the first ones that they wrote. My grandmother, Grace, she went to Wheaton College. She was in Iowa, and basically God was working in her life, leading her into missions, and she basically was wrestling with God, where in the world, where is the uttermost? Where is the gospel? Where does the gospel still need to be preached and shared? And God led her to Manaus, the Amazon jungle. So can you imagine a single lady missionary leaving her comfort and going on a boat for, at that time, it was like a six-week boat trip, not a cruise, a six-week boat trip to the jungle. 10,000 people at that time, one car in that city. Now it's over 1.5 million people in that city. My grandfather, he was in upstate New York, and he had just graduated from Baptist Bible Seminary and was also asking the Lord, where should I go? Where does the gospel still need to be preached? And was led to the Amazon jungle. My grandmother and grandfather met as single missionaries and were married and served the Lord for many, many years. The first prayer letter that my grandfather wrote, he quoted a hymn by Bessie Hatcher. And I want to read it. It says, "Let me burn out for thee, dear Lord, burn and wear out for thee. Use me and all I have, dear Lord, and get me so close to thee that I feel the throb of the great heart of God until I burn out for thee." It was his desire to burn out for the Lord. And my grandmother passed away at age 67. She had a heart attack while she was ministering in Brazil. My grandfather decided that he would never retire. He would say that often, and he served the Lord till the age of 94. My parents were going to bring him back to the United States for medical treatment, and my grandfather said, "No, I do not want to go back to the United States. I want to die here." He died the day that he was supposed to leave. So he had his will, his wish, right, fulfilled. "I'm going to die here in Brazil." He gave his life, burned out for the Lord in Brazil. Well, why abound in the work of the Lord? We have to ask that. Why? Well, because God's grace has abounded to our account, has it not? God did not just do the minimum for us. He did his all. And so we need to consider God's amazing grace in our lives, and that should motivate us to abound. I had the privilege while I was in Brazil to spend a week with Jerry Bridges. He's my favorite author, and I spent breakfast, lunch, and dinner with him, and he spent that time speaking into my life, and he said, "Randy, you need to preach the gospel to yourself every single morning." He said, "That will affect your life in so many ways. That will affect you as a husband to your wife, as a father to your children. It will affect you in your ministry. Don't forget to remind yourself each day of all that God has done for you in Jesus Christ and his mercy and his grace." That has been so helpful for me. Other things that motivate me, I think of the investment that my churches have made in my life and ministry. I've had kids come up from Awana, from VBS, and they're holding some coins in their hand, and they come to me and say, "Missionary Randy, Mr. Randy, would you please use these coins in Brazil and preach the gospel?" And I'm like, "Oh, sure. Yeah, what a confidence. You know, they're entrusting to me their coins, their quarters. And we have several churches. I have 23 churches that support us and individuals. And if you add up the investment over the last 30 years of our ministry, it's well over $1 million that have been invested in us to go and start churches and preach the gospel. I need to get to work, right? I need to be abounding just because of all that has been entrusted to me in our ministry. But we can also think about all that God has entrusted to each one of us a lot, right? If we consider God's mercy and grace, we consider his son, Jesus Christ, and his blood that was shed for us, we need to just run with all that we have, right? Abound in the work of the Lord. Well, a third piece of advice my dad gave me was, finish the race. Don't get in that Volkswagen van. Don't get in that Kombi. Finish the race. And, you know, there are times when we just are ready to give up. Maybe you're at that point where you're just like, huh, I don't know if I can make it. I might just give up. Well, if we continue in the verse 58, therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Your labor is not in vain. I was talking last night about my favorite professor from Cedarville, David Drollinger. I know that he's been down in this area and spoke at the camp. I am now a regional director of Brazil, which means that I shepherd 50 missionaries, but it means that I also have contact with other regional directors from all over the world. And Dr. Drollinger was a professor at Cedarville, and he retired. He could have taken a life of ease and just enjoyed his retirement, but he signed up to be a missionary to South Africa over 15 years ago and has been a wonderful, amazing missionary, now a regional director of South Africa. And I am in the same room with him thinking, what in the world am I doing at the same table as this guy? But just an amazing example to me of a guy who is continuing to invest in ministry, invest his life. And I said to him, I said, what's going through your mind? What's going through your heart right now? And he said, Randy, I just want to finish well. I want to finish well. And I thought about that too. I want to finish well. Some of you know Pastor Piahi from the church there in Feituria. Pastor Piahi was in my youth group and was trained then to be the pastor. He's a pastor at Feituria. He and I have occasion to, on occasion, we'll have coffee together or a meal together. And one of those times at coffee, Pastor Piahi, he kind of was teary-eyed, and he said, Randy, I need to tell you something. He said, I'm really ashamed of this. I need to tell you something. And I said, okay, well, what's that? He said, well, the other day I just thought about quitting the ministry. He said, it's just been so hard. I felt like just quitting being a pastor. And I kind of chuckled and I said, only now? I said, there have been so many times when I've thought about quitting the ministry. I said, I thought about opening a hot dog stand, a hamburger stand. He's like, really? Me too. I was like, but Pierre, just keep at it. Finish well. It's going to be worth it all. It's going to be worth it all. It's like, okay, yeah, okay. But ministry is not easy. It's messy. It can be really complicated and discouraging. But by God's grace, we can finish well. It's not in vain. It will be worth it all. My parents, they retired as missionaries after over 30 years of ministry. And they had a very wonderful missionary career. But they also had some struggles. One of the struggles was that my younger brother, Darren, when he became a young adult, he decided that he wanted nothing to do with church, wanted nothing to do with God, and he went into the world and broke my parents' heart. But my parents decided that they were still going to love him, and they were going to pray for him, and they were going to minister to him. We all did as a family. And so for years, my brother wanted nothing to do with spiritual things. And about 7 years ago, I received a phone call. My brother lived about an hour away from me at the time, and it was the hospital. They said, Randy, your brother is here at the emergency room. He just had a seizure. He fractured four of his vertebrae, and we're doing tests to see what's going on. And we all found out that my brother had a 4-inch tumor in the middle of his brain. It was a malignant and very aggressive tumor. So my brother had very sensitive, delicate surgery to remove that, had radiation and chemo. And something happened that was just amazing, that my brother started to have spiritual conversations with me. And so we started to talk about God, we started to talk about sin, about forgiveness. And after several conversations, my brother called me up one day and he said, Randy, could you help me find peace with God? And I said, for sure. That was the quickest drive from my house to his house in Porto Alegre that I've ever made. And for 4 hours, he and I talked about the gospel, and my brother said, I want to pray to receive Christ as my Savior. And I said, you've prayed before. And he said, I know, but this is for real, and I really want to do this, make it public. And I said, okay. And so he prayed and put his faith in Christ, and we were crying together and hugging each other. And I said, let's call Mom and Dad. And so got the phone and called Mom and Dad. My mom was away, but my dad answered the phone, and I said, Dad, Darren just put his faith in Christ. And he was screaming, glory, hallelujah, glory, hallelujah. And then he said, now I can die and go to heaven. And I'm like, wait a minute, Dad. We still need you here, you know? We still need you. And so, wow, it was so special to my parents to see my brother put his faith in Christ. And my brother wrestled with cancer for many years. In October, he passed away. And but I much prefer my brother in heaven with the Savior than where he was before. So I don't know if any of you have children or relatives or friends that are away from the Lord. I can tell you that God is still at work. He is at work. And in the end, it will be worth it all. It really will. Well, the final piece of advice that my dad gave me was, I'll be waiting for you there at the finish line. I'll be waiting for you there at the finish line. And, you know, I was 12 years old, so I was competing against some people that were a lot older than me. So I didn't win the race. I did finish the race. I crossed the finish line. But one of the things that motivated me that whole time as I was running those 20 kilometers was, my dad's going to be there waiting for me. And I want to make him proud. And I want to get that hug from him when I cross that finish line. It's not that different for us, right? Who's going to be waiting for us at the finish line? Jesus Christ. And hopefully he'll be there to give us that big hug and say, well done, my good and faithful servant. But you know who else is going to be there? All those kids from the Awana ministry, all those boys from the basketball ministry, our brothers and sisters from the different churches that have been planted, all those that have been saved as a result of the missionaries that you support, all those that you have witnessed to and have come to Christ over the years, they're going to be waiting for us at the finish line as well. So as I think of this verse, therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. We know that it's going to be special. It's going to be worth it all. This reminds me of a hymn that we have probably all sung. This hymn, it goes like this. It goes, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. Well, there's nothing better than knowing Christ and serving him. And one day we will be with Christ forever and ever. That is our hope, and that is our victory. So pace yourself, give it all you've got, finish the race, and remember, Jesus will be there waiting for us. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for the comfort that we get from your word, that you are at work in and through us, and that we can persevere, and that we can trust that you will do amazing things. I pray that you would help us to remember that there is nothing in vain. It will be worth it all. In Jesus' name, amen.
Salvation belongs to our God, who sits upon the throne.
He accorded glory, gloria, sabiduria.
Portuguese, we hear Spanish being translated back here, we hear English, a little taste of what eternity is going to be like. We are so blessed. We are so blessed. God is doing an amazing thing in the world right now, and he doesn't need us, but he gives us the privilege to be a part of it. So let's prepare for the Lord's table. Let's stand. We're going to sing Jesus Paid It All. I don't know if we have accompaniment for this.
or not, but we're going to sing the four verses of Jesus Paid It All. Thank you, Joe. And then on the fourth verse, if our deacons will come, we'll prepare to receive the Lord's table.
I hear the Savior say, my strength in need is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe.
Lord's table, communion, is such a significant thing. The Lord Jesus gave this to us, Paul explains in 1 Corinthians 11. I received from the Lord what I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. We hear those words so regularly, and so we should. But think about it. He repeats twice, do this in remembrance of me. You're like, should I participate in communion this morning? The answer is, can you sing that song we just sang meaningfully? That Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. We're all sinners, and we're all separated from God as we come into this world because of our sin. But when we turn to Jesus Christ and acknowledge his death on the cross and his triumphant resurrection, when we say, I believe in you, that you did that for me, then he washes us clean and white as snow, as the song says, and God accepts us. And if this is your testimony, that you can say, Jesus Christ is my Savior, then he said, do this in remembrance of me. This doesn't save us. This is a time when we regularly come to the table and say, we remember you. You are our Savior. We love you. We thank you for what you've done for us. And we do this together. This is a local church opportunity. He talks here about don't participate in an unworthy way. He's talking about the church there was fragmented, the people weren't getting along with each other, and he says don't participate in an unworthy manner because you're sinning against the body. You're actually contributing to the problems that were in the church by coming to the table without making things right with God and each other. So this gives us a wonderful opportunity now for us to stop and examine ourselves. How are we with Jesus, our Savior, and with each other? And that's why we give you opportunity in silence to pray and opportunity and encouragement to go make things right if that needs to happen with other people or issues in your own life. So the Lord's table, the Lord's table. We do this in remembrance of Him, and we do it together because we love Him so much. It's a joy to call on Him. Dan, would you lead us in prayer? We'll prepare ourselves, first of all, to take the bread, which He says is a reminder of His body, which was broken for us.
Let's pray. Lord, we are so, so blessed to be here today. We're so blessed to have Your word and to know You as our God, and to know that we can totally trust You. What You've said is true. Your word is true. Thank You for forgiveness. Thank You for the price that You paid so that we could be in Your family and we could be together here today. You are an awesome God. You've done great things for us. Help us to live for You and put You first. Talk about You with people. Thank You for Randy and his testimony and his message today, and for Aaron and for their love for You and love for the people that they're ministering to. Continue to provide for them. Thank You, God, for the fellowship that we have. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you.
whiter than snow. Do you remember what it was like before that was true? When the darkness of your sin just clouded your whole perspective, and then you came to know Christ and you're whiter than snow. May we not lose the wonder of that, and as we receive, let us remember what he's done for us. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. The cup is a reminder of how he's shed his blood for us. Dave, would you come and lead us in prayer?
Father, you're so good to us. You have orchestrated and built within the church this time of remembrance. A beautiful plan, Lord, to keep us connected to each other and to Christ. Allow us to contemplate and think about Calvary and the death that he suffered and the tomb that was emptied as he rose and the fact that he's returning to take us home to be with him and to serve with him. Lord, we realize that we're sinners. We do not deserve any of this. We deserve your righteous judgment and wrath in our lives, yet in your kindness and in your mercy and in your grace, you've chosen to have mercy on our souls and to save us and to cleanse us. And in this we celebrate today by taking this cup, in Christ's name.
said to take it in remembrance of him. So we've remembered what he did, and we have remembered, many of us who participated, that he did this for us. You might be here saying, I don't know him. I don't know him. Why not today? Why not today? If you've never asked Jesus Christ to save you from your sins, why not today? Call on him. If you say, I don't know what that means, how to do that, we'd love to talk with you about that. We have a meal prepared. Everyone's invited to come downstairs. We'll start in about 10 minutes with that meal. You have an opportunity to sit down with someone and talk further about Jesus Christ. And secondly, I will say this too, for those of us who know him, if God's been working in your heart today about your need to surrender for some particular ministry that he's putting on your heart, maybe a willingness to go to another place, another country even, say, Lord, whatever you want. And you have opportunity to interact with Randy and Aaron, our missionaries, to pick their brains about cross-cultural ministry. But don't shut the door on what God is working in your heart right now as you're thinking about service to him potentially somewhere else. We'd love to see that stir up to what he has intended for you. I want to share tonight as a part of the evening service. You want to come back as Randy will be sharing more with us, but I'll give a report tonight about the Association of Certified Biblical Counselors annual conference and board meeting. It was out in California, and Sherry and I were out there. I'll tell you more about that tonight. But we returned Thursday night, and then Friday morning I got the phone call that my good friend Bill Simon passed away. And he's a good friend of this church, even though he's never been here and you've never met him. Bill is the man that I did his mother's funeral 35 years ago, and we developed a relationship. He was not a believer. And in 2012, when you gave me the privilege to have a sabbatical break to get some rest and some medical attention from my migraines as a part of getting some balance in my life, that's when I started. I went out to Bill and I said, he lived out 5 miles out of town, out in the country. He's a master woodcraftsman. And I said, Bill, would you teach me how to do woodworking? And for the last 11 years, every Monday, over 350 Mondays, I would go out and we'd spend the day in this wood shop. He taught me how to do things. The podium over here we made together, the clock and the foyer and other things just around here. And we talked about a lot of things. And I talked about Christ with him many times. I don't know. He had a stroke 8 weeks ago and wasn't able to talk. And I'd appreciate your prayers on Tuesday as I lead in his funeral service. A few weeks ago, I was with him and I held his hand. I prayed with him, read scripture, and the stroke affected him, and all he could say was, we did good. I don't know where he's at. He's in the Lord's hands right now. But would you use his memorial service to point people to Christ? And I just say publicly, thank you, Lord, for this man that you brought into my life, 93 years old, and he's used him teach me some things that I hope have been a blessing to a lot of people. So thank you for allowing me to share that little story. I'll appreciate your prayers Tuesday again at 1 for that funeral service. Our benediction, I don't know if I forgot, there it is. You cited it last week, but I don't think you've heard the tune to it. Again, the tunes of these are on our website. The children have sung them, but it goes like this. The Lord is good. The Lord is good, the Lord is good, a refuge in times of trouble. He cares for those who trust in him. He cares for those who trust in him. Oh, the Lord is good, the Lord is good, the Lord is good. Nahum chapter 1, verse 7. The meal will begin in about 10 minutes. The Lord bless you as you fellowship and head down to the gym.